Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lost for Lost. I am your faithful host, AJ. This is the May 3rd edition of Lost for Lost. And let me bring Karen in. She's here. Hello.
Hello. Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good.
You're on the switchboard. Can you open a chat room?
Oh, that's a good idea. Usually I remember that. I forgot tonight.
What?
Usually I open it right away, and tonight I forgot. I try to be very professional usually.
Okay, there we go. I'm doing me in there. Looking forward to Jamie being here in a couple minutes and talking about these episodes tonight.
Yes. I got to say, meet Kevin Johnson wasn't as great as I remembered. I think for me, Meet Kevin Johnson was a great episode the first time around because, you know, it was Michael again, and we hadn't seen Michael in, what, a season and a half, you know, so it's like, ooh, what's he been up to? How do you get back to the island? What's going on? And this time I'm watching it going, yeah, I really don't care. I like seeing Libby, you know, and stuff like that, but
I think some of these episodes, can just, like, you can just never get back that holy cow moment of surprise for some of the stuff that you see, you know?
Right.
And it's hard to, you know, it's hard, I mean, as I recall, at the time we kind of knew Michael was coming back, it wasn't really a surprise to have seen him at the end of the previous episode.
Right.
This also was almost the season finale. If you remember, the writer's strike took place this year, and when the strike happened, this was the last episode they had written. And if they didn't resume the strike, if they didn't resume work, the writers, this would have had to be the season finale. And I think it was Damon or Carlton who had said, I'm warning you guys, this is going to be the worst season finale ever if we don't get back to work.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And so it ended up being, what's weird about watching these two episodes, like I watched them straight through back to back, right? There was actually a 6-week break in between these two. Because the writers came back to work, but they had already produced some, and they had a gap while they went back to work, right?
Well, they came back strong, that's for sure.
Yes, you did.
The Shape of Things to Come is a great episode.
Oh, that's an awesome episode. But I don't think, I mean, Kevin Johnson was really bad. I think
I don't want to come off like I think it was a bad episode. It just wasn't, you know, going into it when I was, you know, starting it, I was just, you know, thinking, oh, you know, I love this episode, and I got watching it going, I really don't love it.
I mean, I know what you mean by that. I guess we're really wrapping up Michael's story. We know where that's going to go, and, you know, this is it's almost entirely Michael's story of redemption, this episode. And I do think Harold Perrineau, you know, did some good work. For me, the highlight for me of the whole episode is that moment where they come and they tell Kevin Johnson that he has a phone call and that it's Walt. And Michael Cimino is like, Walt, hello, Walt? And then it's Ben. And, like, just the look on his face, the way his look changes. And phone acting is so hard for actors because you're not really talking to anybody on the other end, you know?
Right.
The look on his face was just like, It was heartbreaking, you know.
Yeah, that whole phone conversation was really good actually, because, you know, again, it tells a lot about. Hold on one second. Let me bring Jamie in. Hello,
hey guys.
Jamie.
Hello.
Jamie.
I'm trying to figure out how to do the chat on here when I'm not
in the
switchboard.
There
it is.
Puzzles.
I found it.
You're right. I see.
Yeah,
lost
I'm
puzzles.
Okay. Yeah, I'm under lost puzzles. Yes, it worked.
What I was saying about the phone call between Ben and Michael is, you know, Michael's like, you know, you give me this bomb and I'm gonna redeem myself, and he goes, wait, you actually set the bomb off
already?
Like Ben, like totally, like Michael thinks he's doing this good thing, and Ben totally makes him feel like shit for it.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
You actually did it? What are you crazy?
It does everything wrong. Yeah, I will say one thing. I must not have watched some of the later episodes as many times, because I don't know why, but I did not, like, remember these ones as much as I remembered a lot of them for some reason. That's the only thing I can figure, because I was like, I don't know, certain big things that I knew I should have known, I'm like, I can't remember what happened, so for whatever reason.
That's good in a way,
yeah,
maybe,
no,
you kind of get to experience that as a, you know. I think maybe some of these middle episodes here, like, seem, you might have forgotten them because things that happen here are important, but not, you know, I mean, just totally forgotten and not
things.
Important compared
yeah,
to what happens in the next two seasons after this.
Yeah, that's true, too. But
yeah.
I think too, like, I should have, because of there was like so much going on these past few episodes, I probably should have watched the ones in between when I didn't do the podcast, because if it jumped, I'm like, oh wait, they're in Dharmaville? It was like, oh, I forgot about that, and I forgot there was other people staying there too when they you know, that got killed or whatever later on. I think that might be the next episode, but I don't know. I just thought it was funny because I forgot it. A good bit of it.
Yeah, the dumb red shirts. Don't come out here.
Yeah.
Bang. Let me check on them. Don't come out here. Bang. Let me check on her. Bang. Really?
Well, before
it
survived it.
That's in the shape of things to come.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should probably stick with Kevin Johnson first. That's my fault. So this was totally a Michael flashback. And the other thing that I forgot is I completely forgot that I'm going to call her by the actress name. I'm trying to think. Libby. I completely forgot that Libby was in Michael's, you know, hallucinations.
Yeah.
Because we were always complaining, like, what happened to Libby? And I know, obviously, we still didn't find out what happened to Libby, but I had forgotten she was in again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a surprise.
Yeah, and we were always like, oh, we were always happy to see her, because she's
right.
One of the less satisfying kind of characters.
Yeah.
Completely.
So quickly, remind me, and anybody else who didn't watch the episodes before, what I can't remember for the life of me is, how did Saeed and Desmond end up on the boat?
Frank took them on the chopper with Naomi said.
Okay.
Jamie, you have to go back, and I know you weren't here for the podcast, you have to watch The Constant. You can't skip one of the best episodes ever.
Yeah, so I'll go back one. But I just couldn't remember who they got there. Like, I remembered, you know, what was going on, but I'm like, how did they get there? So it's good, you know. Oh, and this is the episode. That was the other thing I was going to say. This is the episode that Grant Bowler's in. Because I know when we saw him, I was saying how he was in Lost, and I couldn't remember exactly what character he played. And I'm like, oh, okay, I know now.
The captain.
Yeah, this is not his first appearance in Lost as the captain. The captain's been in, like, one. He had lines in another episode, I think. But he's in, like, two or three episodes,
And the ones I have to go back and watch again. But I had forgotten that he was coming up in these. And then also Kimi. I remember hating Kimi. I hated him just as much this time, so that didn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
Something in this episode that I hadn't really thought about until watching this episode again, this is the first time, we don't know the rules yet, because we haven't met Jacob or had Richard's flashback, but this is the first time we find out that you can't kill yourself if the island doesn't want you to.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. I mean, Michael's story is kind of interesting. I guess first he tries to crash his car and kill himself, which is kind of surprising considering that Michael already survived one horrific car crash in his life. And
well, he got hit by a car in that one.
Oh, yeah, he got hit by a car.
Yeah, this one was his fault.
Yeah, I got hit by that car, not the crash. But, like, getting in a car crash is, like, not a guaranteed death.
No.
Like, you might just end up crippled and maimed and hurt or whatever.
And not for nothing, how many people can say that they survived both sides of a car crash, being in the car and being hit by a car and survived both of them? Not to mention a plane crash.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
This guy, you know what, in the scheme of things, probably to other people, he looks like he's got good luck. Not so much. But, yeah. From the outside, it looks like that.
Yeah. And then, but you're right, and then Tom tells him, you can't die, the island won't let you die, which, you know, not really sure what that means. Does that mean Ben won't let him die? Does that mean Jacob won't let him die? Like, yeah, we don't really, we just,
fate won't let him die.
That's the thing. At this point in the juncture of the show, you know, we know the island is mysterious, and the island does stuff and everything. We don't know the true meaning of what that actually means. So we just take it as another one of those mystical island things. We don't, it's much later when we finally learn what all that's.
He actually, like Michael, like Tom, like literally articulated what we had been saying about the show already for a couple of seasons was, we always said, when your character's redeemed, you're doomed, you're going to die. And basically...
He's like, you still have things to do.
Yeah, Tom's telling him, you can't die until you're redeemed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to help you redeem yourself, sort of. I mean, it's kind of a sick, you know, I mean, going to work for Ben is not ever good for anybody. And, you know, and what's interesting about it is that Ben, you know, in some ways is the man who destroyed Michael's life. I mean, yeah, he didn't make
yeah,
like,
I know.
The shoot, Libby, but he really, I mean, Ben certainly...
He wanted him to, and he knew he would.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know about that, because, I mean, you think about it. Think about Michael as a character. I mean, this episode, again, really shows you who Michael is, you know? I mean, Michael makes these decisions on his own, you know, for his, you know, it's just, I mean, Tom hits the nail on the head. You really get a feel for the type of person Michael is when Tom's like, you know, we gave you your son back and you lost him on your own again. You know, what the hell happened? And then it dawns on Tom, he's like, you told him. And,
like,
and
why
Tom
would you
is,
tell him?
Oh, yeah, Tom is totally right. You shared something terrible that you did with a 10-year-old boy. What
and, you know, that wasn't, I think we
that?
Talked about, I think we talked about this before, but that was not the one who played Walt in the window.
Yes, it was.
We said before they probably didn't want to pay him. Was it? Because I didn't think it looked like him. It was so quick,
that's why
I
they
didn't want to pay him.
Because he was older, which is why they had why they did the whole window thing, so you couldn't see how tall he was.
Oh,
he was
I didn't.
Taller.
I mean, it's irrelevant, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not him, because why would they fly him all the way up to Hawaii to stand in a window for 20 seconds?
That's what I mean. That's why I figured it probably wasn't him. But they could have filmed that order. But regardless of that, the only thing I wanted to say is you say about, like, you know, Ben didn't make him do that. And you're right, he didn't. But it's kind of the same thing that we see later with Saeed, that Saeed ends up working for him and killing people. Ben does a very good, and especially to Locke, because Locke's an idiot, Ben does a very good job of getting people to do things that he wants and making them think it's their own idea.
Yeah, but
and we've
Saeed,
said that before.
No, but the thing with Saeed, I mean, he manipulates Saeed into making him believe that guy was responsible for Nadia's death and that there's an organization of people that had something to do with it. Saeed knows what he's doing, though. Saeed's mission is to kill these people, okay? Nobody ever said, hey, Michael, you have to go kill whoever's guarding Ben and get him out. Michael chose to do it that way. He could have very simply held a gun to Anna Lucia and said, I'm going to shoot you if you don't let him out.
He
really
did,
simple.
But...
knock her out. Hit her over the head with a gun.
Look, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing that Ben didn't force him to kill them, but Ben set in motion a situation that was highly dangerous and unpredictable. And
oh,
Ben
yeah,
even
that
says
I agree
to Michael, Ben even says to Michael,
you
I don't
know
blame you.
A chance
ben,
of it.
Yeah, Ben even says to him, look, I don't blame you, Michael. What I had your son, what wouldn't a man do to save his son? And he sort of gives him a little bit of a leeway there. But, I mean,
but
so
it's condescending the way Ben says
it. In whatever way, Ben ruined Michael's life or helped Michael to ruin his own life. And now Ben is the man that is the only man that can help Michael, you know, end it, like, fix his, end his life. Like, there's nothing left for Michael but to die, and he can't even do that right, right? Michael's life is so ruined that he can't even die. And
right,
only Ben can help him.
Right, but not for nothing. I just want to make one more point and wanted to say, AJ, you're right. Slade did choose to kill those people, but if you think about it, technically, all Ben did was said, this is the guy that killed your wife. He didn't tell him to go shoot him. I mean, he knew that's what he'd do, but that's kind of my point. Like,
but that's...
He leads them to do it. He doesn't outright say it, but he knows it's going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
yeah,
different
with there's
Saeed.
Definitely a difference, and I know what you're
Michael,
talking about.
But with Michael, there's definitely a difference. But,
I
agree, though. I mean, Ben totally sets these events in motion. And Ben doesn't care how these events take place as long as the end result is what Ben wants, you know?
Yeah.
Ben didn't care how Ben got out as long as Ben got out, you know? Michael had many more options, and we, you know, debated that to the umpteenth end when we originally saw it, and for years since then.
Yeah. Well, the point is that he's trying to fix.
He's trying to fix it, but
way,
I mean, Michael,
or at least atone for it, not fix it.
Yeah.
Tone.
Yeah. I mean, HA, you know, has some good point. Michael. There are a lot of times that Michael has only been thinking about Michael, like when Michael. It's arguable about when. when Michael gave Walt up to his mother, you know, was Michael doing what was right for Ben? Was Michael doing what was right for himself? Like, we debated all that back in season one.
I assume you mean Walt,
certainly,
not Ben. But yeah.
Walt, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean Walt. certainly, if he told Walt what he'd done, that was more about Michael
wanting to be redeemed,
wanting to bear his soul. I mean, and there's truly no one else he can tell, right? Because the only person he can ever speak about being on the island is Walt. You can't talk to anybody about it. But, I mean, that's a selfish act to burden your child with that.
Yeah, such a 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, not for nothing. Even if he killed people to get his son back, even if he specifically told him, I know he did, but even if, you know, he said you have to kill your children to get, or kill them to get Walt back. I know probably maybe a lot of people would do the same thing, but at the same time, that doesn't make him guiltless either. I mean, regardless of the reasoning, and it's maybe understandable, but he still killed people. I mean, it's not forgivable exactly. I mean, it is in the way a TV show is, but not, you know, not in real life.
Yeah.
We can forgive him because we like Lost.
Yeah. I mean,
so because
we
forgive people? Let me ask you guys something.
No,
Ben,
you know what I mean.
Ben essentially, you know, came to work for the good team, but could you ever forgive Ben for all the shit he did?
Not in real life, but you still like him as a character.
No.
Like this character before he's killing people, though.
Ben's a big liar because
no, I know.
Well, no, so, you know, we're taking this episode from, like, every angle at once, but that's fine. But the point where he says, like, I can't believe you set off that bomb, Michael. Like, I don't want to blow up that freighter. I don't want to kill innocent people. I don't kill innocent people.
Which
first of all, to dig at Michael, because I don't kill innocent people, which Michael, like, which is, I guess, to imply that I'm
Michael
better than
did,
Michael
yeah.
innocent people. But, in fact, Ben killed the entire Dharma Initiative. So he totally killed innocent people.
Yeah, but they weren't innocent, at least in Ben's mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of them were just random people going about their work, right? I mean, he killed the whole Dharma Initiative because he hated his father so much. Like,
but obviously, the other thing is obviously he did expect Michael to set off the bomb. If not, they wouldn't have put that message in there because they would have assumed he never would have blown it up. You know, they wouldn't have given
I've got a piece of irony for you. Had the bomb been real and Michael killed everybody on the boat, then Alex would still be alive. See, Ben is responsible for his daughter's death because he didn't kill those people.
You're right.
See, apparently Michael had the right idea.
Yeah. Well, now, why does he not want, I mean, he says he doesn't want Michael to go with the boat. He says he wants Michael to sabotage the engines and the boat will never get there, and he's acting like he's all...
But they would just come back again. That's bullshit anyway. I mean, there's no way they're not going to try again. I mean, granted, I guess the island could move.
Oh, yeah, Widmore, of course Widmore.
So there is that. But to say that if we disable the boat, they're never going to come back,
nothing.
He's lying to Michael.
Look how long it took Widmore to find the island, though.
That's
Years and years. So it would take him that long to find it again, maybe.
Took him over 30 years to find the island.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he'd just let them go. It just seems to me a little far-fetched.
At this point, watching the show, nobody knows the island can move. Like, we didn't know the island can move.
Don't know.
It's not even within the realm of possibility
We started suspecting it, however, because of all this crazy shit that's going on, like the package, the rocket that was sent, it took half an hour to get there when it should have only taken like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And now we got, and actually I think that's the next episode. But
I was
going to
say the rocket, which... There was no rocket. That's what I was going to say in this episode. There was no rocket.
No, not in the next
episode.
Like,
previous
episode,
yeah.
But, you know, in the next episode, the doc shows up dead on the beach, but he's still alive on the freighter. So, you know,
I did not remember that. I'm glad you said that, because, see, I just assumed the guy was lying to him or that he didn't know he was dead yet, but I completely forgot about that. You're right. See, I ain't remembering a lot of this.
The other interesting thing about Michael's story here in this episode, I thought, was that Michael, so everybody on the island has done bad things, and they're sort of, you know, all on the island because they're, like, everybody's seeking redemption for something they've done, and Michael, I guess, was seeking redemption for, like, not being a father, but it turns out that Michael's seeking redemption, like, Michael's the only one who's, like, really needs to be redeemed for crimes committed on the island. Everyone else, it was, like, their previous life to the island that they're trying to overcome. for right. Michael, it's his. It's what he did on, like, on the island. That saw him off. I felt really sorry for him in this episode. He's not likable, and I didn't feel totally sorry for him. I mean, he has made his bed in some ways, but I did feel kind of sorry for him in this episode. And what do you think
about
Saeed?
I think I felt more
in?
Sorry the first time, though. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's when I felt more sorry for him. I'm like, Saeed, how could you do that? Because I am thinking about it this way. Even if I get why Saeed did it. I get he's pissed at Michael, but at the same time, like, I don't know. They don't want the people on the boat going after the rest of their people, so I don't know that that was the smartest thing to do. But
Saeed doesn't know a lot of this.
It wouldn't necessarily
lead
to that, though.
Saeed doesn't know any of that. All Saeed knows is, here's a boat that we can get off the island with, and Michael's screwing shit up. And
that's true. They still think they're getting off the island, yeah.
You got to look the way, you got to know what Saeed sees and not what the viewer sees. Here's a man who killed two innocent people in our camp, and now he's sabotaging this boat that's going to get us off the island. Saeed knows nothing else. Yes, Saeed knows they're kind of locking him up and that things aren't what they seem to be, and he doesn't really trust these people. But Saeed, by turning Michael in, he's gaining favor with the captain. You know, Saeed's trying to manipulate the situation to his advantage.
Well,
Saeed's not a dumb person.
Also, Saeed, more than anyone on the island, Saeed has always been the number one most skeptical person about Ben. From the jump, from day one. He you know, so for Michael to be Ben's spy only is what makes it even that much worse in Saeed's. I don't know what Saeed hopes to gain. I'm not sure, like, currying favor with the captain is really going to be that
smart
helpful.
Thing, but
or is Saeed, I mean, Saeed also has, like, a honor about him, and is it, you know, is it also partly his, like just hating Michael, right? He just, like, doesn't trust Michael and hates Michael and wants Michael to be caught, and he's, I don't know. I'm not sure what he's going to gain from it, but there's no way he's going to trust him or Ben, right?
Yeah.
And I think most of the audience...
Well, till later.
Right,
when he gets back. When he gets off.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you guys about the Michael's timeline, Michael's off-island timeline, which is one of the biggest problems with this episode and with his story in general. Because Michael left the island, I mean, at easily 65 days in, right? The Oceanic Six is only on the island for 108 days, right? So we're past day 100 now. So Michael, in the space of, I mean, how long was Michael off island? Not very long. He's only off island like a total of a month. And he had enough time.
Right, but we don't know that the two stories are coinciding at the same time, though. That could have been, like, right.
What do you mean?
Well, no, like, she's saying we're past day 100. That could have technically happened, like, right when he... I mean, I know it didn't happen right when he got back, but, like, you don't necessarily know that because the island's on day, whatever, 100, that the day
we
he talked
that,
to his mother was day whatever.
We know that the freighter is Christmas Day because Desmond
true.
Talked to Penelope on Christmas Eve, and we saw a calendar behind his head, and Saeed said, oh, I can't believe it's already Christmas. So we know
that's
really
true.
Exactly what day it is on the freighter.
No, but
exactly
I'm talking about before Michael's... time off.
Well,
you would,
I know,
I
but we know that the whole
off,
first
off
season
off.
Was the whole first season was 48 days.
Yeah.
Michael leaves partway through season two, and if you, I mean, it's at least a couple weeks later. It's at least 2 months in when he leaves, and only there 3 months. So,
doesn't she say something like you were gone 4 months?
We can quibble over a day or two, but he has enough time to sneak into the United States undetected, get an apartment in New York. Tell Walt, get alienated, fall into major depression, try to kill himself, recover from the car crash, get to Fiji, and take a freighter to the island.
You're right.
So he was very, very busy in those 4 weeks that he was off the island.
I didn't realize that that what you meant. Yeah, you're right. That was kind of a lot to do. He was very busy.
Just the recovery from the massive car crash, and unless the island healed him up super fast.
Yeah, and he's not on the island anymore, so I doubt it.
To get him moving.
Yeah,
but
so he could be walking in that. It probably would have had to have been months.
Yeah, it's still a very problematic compression of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it that he could get all that stuff done. I mean, just sailing on the freighter to the island had to be, like, you know, at least a week, right? I mean.
Yeah, but in TV time, it only takes an act or so. I'm kidding. No, I know what you mean. You're right.
No, I mean, I don't think there's any way Michael could have really done all that stuff.
No, you're right.
He, And that's, I mean, that's not about time travel. That's just about the writing cramming a lot of stuff into a, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have told Walt almost the day he got back what he had done.
Probably did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a little bit, that's a flaw with this episode, which really only, it was actually commented a lot, you know, in a lot. I bring it up because in preparation for the podcast, I looked at a couple of reviews. Every reviewer I read commented on this.
You know, it's funny, I never really thought about that.
No, I didn't either, that's why. But she's right, I mean,
yeah.
There's totally no way, but...
I mean, I guess yeah. The only argument can be made is, even though Michael, you know, crashed his car and, you know, and everything, his injuries were minor because he was supposed
yeah.
to die.
The other problem...
Well, we
is
had a neck brace on, though, but I guess that could have been precautionary.
Yeah. In fact, now I just pulled up Lostpedia, which is not canon, and it's not the be-all and end-all, but they feel like it had to be between days 68 and 82, which is only 2 weeks, really.
Yeah, that's 2 or 3 weeks.
That all happened. And what's also problematic is Tom's appearance off-island, because the whole Michael leaves the island, and Sawyer and Kate go to the cages, and Tom's like with them or with Jack in pretty much every episode that
yeah.
we see them for all of the last season. So when did Tom have time to flit over to New York, hang out with Arturo, meet, you know, and go back? Unless
well,
he just overnighted in New York for one day.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless he left right after Michael did, but we're implying that this has to be like 2 to 3 weeks later. So, yeah, he would have been busy, but maybe they can teleport, you know, back and forth or something.
Well, we know that the island dumps you in Tunisia when you go off island, so we had to get from North Africa
well,
to New York.
Tunisia is when you go off island through the donkey wheel.
Oh, yeah, he could have taken the sub or flown or something like a normal person. That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm curious how he got off, considering they blew up the sub.
Probably another way Ben lied about. That's my solution.
Yeah. I mean, it had to be right around there. And you know, when Michael's in the hospital, you see Christmas trees. So it's definitely sometime in December. Supposedly, it appears that Michael won't leave the island on November 28th, which is right after Thanksgiving. So it all
happened.
Wait,
he leaves for the island? Or not, he left the island.
They left the island. They leave the island
you do
on
that.
November 28th.
That's way not enough time.
And it's now December 25th. It's
especially
because
some people would have
right?
already had Christmas trees up when he left.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I guess Tom only had a few days when they left the Hydra to go and be there. It's all very
crammed.
Everybody's moving very fast, and we should just not pay
yeah.
too much attention.
Yeah, I think sometimes
they should have
said more days passed, but they kept up the same format of spreading it out.
I never did till now pay that much attention to it.
No, I didn't either. I mean, it's a nitpick, but it's something like that didn't. I didn't really think about it. I mean, I didn't notice it. But, I mean, you're right. It's totally laughable. But
yeah.
It isn't. Most people, well, not most people. A lot of people won't notice.
But not, you know what, though? You know, not that an argument really needs to be made, but back in season 1 of 24, you know, you're supposed to have an hour, you know, the stuff that happened in an hour episode of 24, I mean, I don't know how Jack ever made it from, you know, Jack can make it from one side of L.A. to the other in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, there was an airplane.
Yeah.
There was a murder on an airplane in one of the first episodes, and the plane landed, and they found that figured out that the guy had been murdered within the same episode. You know, so I mean, those type of things
well,
in TV land are going to happen.
All right. Yeah. You know what though? I was thinking of here as I'm reading through this recap is when Libby, because Libby pops up, right? She says, not to blow up the sub. Well, I remember when I was thinking, when I was watching it, that kind of reminded me of him, them pressing the thing on the computer. I don't think it says execute, but it made me think of that. And now I'm thinking she's kind of like, you know, coming up. It just reminded me of Walt when he's like, you know, don't push the button or whatever. She's kind of, in a way, though maybe not quite as creepy,
it made me think. Who is Libby when she appears there? Like the island, if the island won't let Michael die, because the island wants Michael to come back and fulfill some role. But, you know, is the island sending Libby, or is the man in black, like the man in black can only appear as dead people who died on, you know, whose bodies are on the island, right? So it's the man in black appearing as...
But the man in black can't appear off island.
I just kind of assumed he was hallucinating. I took the easy way out.
It's yeah, I think
really
with Mike, I think with Michael's
really
total
Michael's
hallucination,
mind.
Because in Michael's eyes, I think from Michael he viewed Libby as even more innocent than Anna Lucia because she just was wrong place, wrong time. She scared
yeah.
him and he shot her in the stomach. That was not he didn't intentionally shoot her. He had intentions
yeah.
of shooting Anna Lucia. Libby was an accident that I think is what where his guilt really stems from. I think if he had just shot
yeah.
Anna Lucia, I don't think his guilt
he
would be
have been
as
so
strong.
Upset. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think people would have cared as much either.
Well, we don't care because Anna Lucia was not a nice character. And
no,
she,
that's my point.
She was also a murderer. Like, she's many, many characters on the show have killed someone. And, in fact, Michael, I think, is the least – okay, he's not the least guilty. But, I mean, Kate killed her stepfather, and she was being a total jerk about it. Like, she killed him on her mother's behalf when the mother didn't want her to, you know. And Sawyer has shown zero remorse for killing the wrong person in Sydney right before he flew to the island.
Actually, that's not... Oh, yeah,
he doesn't
yeah,
care about that
he
at all.
Down, no, you're right, yeah.
Shot that guy, and granted, that guy shot her and she lost the baby, but that guy didn't know she was pregnant. That guy didn't mean for her to lose her baby, and whenever you're a cop, you don't get to assassinate people in cold blood because you're mad. So we have
right,
many,
and
many...
she also shot Shannon.
Mm-hmm. And she shot Shannon, which was kind of my mistake, but whatever. Like, we have all these
also
people that...
Michael, kind of.
Yeah, we have all these people who kill and don't show remorse, really, at all, and Michael is a person
yeah.
who... Maybe had some. I mean, they had his son. He maybe had some motivation to violence, and he's truly guilty and remorseful about killing those two, and particularly Libby. He's
yeah.
He's a little bit different than the other killers on the show. You know?
Right. Although,
oh, yeah.
agreeing to try to make things right by killing more people isn't necessarily the best decision either.
Well, I'll agree with you there. Yeah.
You
yeah.
Know,
except that
his
he can't die. He
but,
can't die.
But,
well,
but the way
yeah,
Michael sees it is, killing these people saves my friends on the island.
No, you're right. But I'm just saying that doesn't
so,
technically make it okay.
Do the ends justify? Oh, I didn't say it made it okay.
No, I know, no. In his
it's
mind,
kind of
the
like
ends
trying to make
to
it up to the people on the island
yeah.
without them really knowing that he's trying to make it. Like, they don't know he's trying to do this, but he is. So he's a little bit, I'm not saying that he, I mean, he's not like, it's not like they're... I mean, they're all murderers. He shouldn't have
yeah,
been.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't absolve him, but he's in a little bit different category. And I always wondered, it always is kind of glossed over. You know, I keep coming back to this fact that Sawyer killed a man, and the wrong man, and doesn't really, you know. And
right.
he killed the real Sawyer. He killed Anthony Cooper. And, like, okay, he was a bad dude, but, like Sawyer spent his whole life since the age of, like, get over it. Like, you know, like, a lot of people have a tragedy in their life, and they have to move on, like. Sawyer dedicated
yeah,
his entire
but
life
not
to
everybody moves on
man.
That easy either. But yeah,
no, but not everybody dedicates their entire life to finding that this man and killing him. You know, I mean, it's
yeah.
I mean, if everybody who lost someone had to, you know, he these are characters that we love and we're sympathetic, but they're deeply flawed characters.
Yeah,
and Michael
That's
is deeply
them.
Flawed also, but Michael is Michael's. Like the only person who shows remorse over killing another human being on the show.
Yeah, you're right. Like Kate,
well,
I think
Sawyer,
sometimes is remorseful, but not because she's upset about what she did, but because she's upset about, you know, what happened after the fact.
Yeah,
she's sorry her mom met her. She's not sorry
right.
she killed that guy.
Yeah,
that's
Kate
what I
shows
mean,
no
yeah.
remorse whatsoever. Sawyer, however, did because he had that whole boar thing going on.
The whole what
like,
thing?
The boar.
Oh yeah, the boar. Oh, when the boar was haunting him.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
Sawyer eventually did feel, you know, show some kind of remorse, you know. He did feel bad about it. Just Sawyer's not the type of person to, regardless of how he's feeling inside, vocalize it, you know.
Yeah.
Sawyer could have felt
yeah.
bad the whole time, the minute he found out it was the wrong guy. But, you know, Sawyer's one of those people who's like, hey, what am I going to do now? I'm not, you know, not condoning Sawyer
right,
killing
but he's
the guy
changed.
In the first place.
He's definitely changed, his ways,
yeah,
though.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Thrifting his life
really,
for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form. Just, you know.
No, no. Well, the morality is a lot different on television than if you compare to real life. You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, but it's funny because we see that all the time. We like bad characters too. No, but I just mean like we still talk about the characters like we like them, and half the time when they're murderers, you still like them. But it doesn't really mean you condone what they do, just that it makes good entertainment, right?
I mean, Ben is a wonderful character. If I knew the guy, I'd view Ben as a Hitler-like person, and he should be put down. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, especially after Alex. Oh, that
I
was,
mean, Ben, Ben may not do things physically himself, but he is responsible for a lot of death.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to go back off topic here for a second, but Jamie, I'm just reading online. It was totally Malcolm David Kelly in the window.
Oh, was it?
Okay.
It didn't look
yes,
like it
they took season one footage and digitally stuck him in the window.
Oh, that's probably why then they probably messed
it. So he didn't shoot it, but it was him from previous. It was previous episode that they just digitally put him in there.
I knew that sneer on his face looked familiar.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing we do, I'm sure, that we haven't really talked about is the whole Carl, Alex, and Rousseau thing at the end, which is basically that Ben sends them to where he thinks the safety. You knew it was going to go bad. And then I guess since we haven't gotten that from us yet, but people come and what am I thinking? Forget I said that. I'm going nuts. The people from the freighter come, you find out after kill them. They
actually,
kill Carl and kill her mother.
At the time this happened, a lot of people wondered if Ben had set it up for the others to kill them so they could regain control of Alex. That was a theory that was going on, that Michael sent them to the temple. When Ben sent them to a temple, Ben sent them into an ambush so that the other two would be killed and he'd regain his control over
them. Right, at the time we didn't know who shot them. But, you know,
right,
I got to say,
right.
I felt really bad for Rousseau. She survived on her own for 16 years on this island. She hooks up with her daughter finally and done.
Right, but,
yeah.
But her whole goal was to see her daughter again. And, I mean,
yeah.
I think that she
so
thought, she served her purpose, yeah, in that
she
sense.
Was
but at least
she got
saved
her redemption
her.
And she died.
Yeah, I gotta say, though. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say her story was complete. There was no,
right.
There's no future for her to be really, I mean, she's too. She never wants to leave the island. She can't really be a mother to Alex. And the only thing she wanted in life was to get her baby back. And so she was doomed from the moment that happened, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much.
But I was just going to say, in the scheme of things, Alex is one of the few characters, that is actually smart and thinks, because she's done two things here. There's a lot of before this happened, she, like, kind of seemed to sense something was up and she knew her father wouldn't try to get her killed, but she still sort of knew something was up. And then also, I think her jumping and saying, hey, I'm his father, was probably the smartest thing she could have done. I mean, not that it worked out in her favor.
I completely, 110% disagree. I think her jumping up and saying, I'm Ben's daughter, is the dumbest thing she could have done. Because, guess what? Number one, if it's Ben's people, and it's her people, they already know who she is, so she doesn't need to
right,
tell them.
Right, but I figure
she
thinks
she doesn't
Ben's
know that.
People.
But she doesn't know
yeah.
that.
Right, so
I
saying I'm Ben's daughter,
Ben's
I think is a huge, huge, huge mistake. Because, say, Kimi and them just come up on her, and they're like, who are you? And they don't know that she's his daughter, okay?
Yeah, but they would have just shot her on sight if they didn't know who she was.
Shot her anyway.
Well, I said it didn't work out.
I
know that. Think about it.
Right?
She didn't know, so.
She thinks that they won't kill her if they know she's Ben. They'll keep her. She knows they want him. And so
right.
She thinks they'll keep her alive as leverage,
long
right?
Enough, but, yeah.
I would not admit being related to the most hated man on the island.
Right, but they don't hate him, the island people. I mean, if she had stepped out, they would have shot her on the spot, so at least she lived a little bit longer. I mean, I know, like I said, obviously it was a bad choice in the end, but I think that as a character making that choice, to me, makes sense.
Even watching it, even before I knew she, you know, I saw her die, I knew it was a bad choice the minute she did it. It just, nothing
well, yeah.
good comes from saying,
was,
I'm Ben's daughter.
It didn't come out
just,
good, but I'm saying
I can't,
from her point of view, I think it was smart. Because she didn't know what was going on.
She's a 16-year-old kid who has never been held pinned down by gunfire before. And, you know, I guess it's just doing what she thinks she's got to do. I kind of bought it that she thought if they know that I'm Ben's daughter, I'm valuable. I'm valuable to them. They won't kill me. Like, she doesn't know who it is or what they're doing, and she thinks but she's heard Ben say they're coming to wipe out every person on this island. They want me. They're going
to
wipe the rest of you out. So
she was valuable
up to
the point where Ben wouldn't give in.
Well, she, you know, maybe she, I mean, she's right. They do keep her alive, at least for a while. Maybe she thought that,
yeah.
Who knows what she thought. I don't think it's good.
I'll say this.
There was no way she could leave. There was no way she could get out of
it. That's what said. She
would
have
got
shot on sight.
I'll say this. Looking at it from the viewpoint of a 16-year-old girl, I could see why she'd make that decision. Doesn't make it the right one.
Right. That's what I'm just saying. For being a girl, like a younger person, and thinking that that could possibly save her, I'm just saying was smart. Because it did, I mean, it saved her, and like you said, as in so far that they didn't kill her right then. Because if she had ran, they would have shot her then, and it would have been over.
That's,
so,
you know,
it still works in doubt, kind of, just not in the end.
As 16-year-olds go, but kids are supposed to think they're indestructible anyway. They, you know, when you're that age, you're immortal, so nothing can hurt you anyway. So.
Which is why I would think that she normally would have just ran and got
shot.
That's
the end of the whole next episode. Let's just wrap up Kevin Johnson.
That's not the end of the next episode.
Oh, no, it's not.
She died,
I'm thinking of when she gets killed, yeah.
Well, yeah,
I was jumping ahead in my own mind. I'm sorry, you guys. I was totally wrong there.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. The end of it was
she
her saying she was Ben's daughter. I'm
she
sorry.
She stands up and says I'm Ben's daughter, and that's the end of it.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's my fault. I read it wrong. I thought I read it wrong. That's my fault.
And what's significant in this last scene is the end of Russo. And, I mean, I seem to remember a huge outcry from all the fans, including the three of us, that we were, like, kind of so pissed Russo was killed before we had a chance to, you know, we never got a Russo flashback. Up to this point, we never really saw her be more than really awkwardly weird with Alex. They didn't really have a chance to, you know, and we never really learned about how she survived. I remember her being really pissed that Russo was gone. It was kind of a big deal. Carl, I guess nobody really cared that much. Carl was
except for
a glorified red shirt.
Her. Yeah, and then now that I'm looking at the correct recap, now that we're on the second one, I was just going to say, the other thing that I was thinking about, that I was thinking that she was smart that she did, was when she, and unless I'm misunderstanding it, but I took it that when she put the code in the Pyron or whatever the hell it's called, that was what alerted Ben with the phone call.
Yeah.
Okay. So, see, that was
smart,
the
panic code.
I think. Yeah, that's so... I think there she made another smart move. Again, it didn't work out to her advantage, but, you know, at least she helped save some of the people. So the next episode is called...
It's not in any way her fault. It is Ben's fault for saying she means nothing to me. She's not my daughter. I don't value her.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Ben,
thinking they might let her go. I mean, it didn't work, but I think that was his thoughts,
yeah.
I think, which was fair.
Anyway,
let's do the rest of the episode. We'll get back to that. So they get
the
warning that they're coming. Yeah, I know. Well, no, I was just going to say, they get a warning from her after that that the bad ones or whatever are coming. And I don't know why, but it struck me as funny. They block up the whole house, they block up the whole house.
That doesn't happen until the next episode.
Well, no, I said we're in the next episode now. Are we still talking about that?
Are we starting the next episode? Okay.
All right, so we're done with Kevin. Kevin Johnson. All right.
I don't know. I that's why I said. I said that she sends him the code. But anyway, so they pick up the phone and it rings the code. But the thing that I find kind of funny about this is that they block up the doors and windows and everything. And, you know, he's screaming at Hurley not to open the door when Sawyer gets back with Claire. And, you know, he breaks the window. But I would think that, in the scheme of things, he would have been better off letting him open the door because now they can't cover the window. But I don't know. I just found that funny. But the other thing is that the guy washes up the doctor and the whole Morse code, and which we kind of talked about without talking about the Morse code, that Bernard knows that Daniel's lying about what they actually say.
Can we just, before you recap it too much, I just want to say that, Jamie, you weren't here, when AJ and I were talking at the beginning, just about how we liked the episode, which I thought this was a really pretty awesome episode, chock full of really awesome things happening in this episode. I don't know how you liked it as a
no,
as
yeah, a lot packed into this. Yeah, and like I said, I think the end's hard to watch, but not that it's – I mean, it's done really well. I mean, it's hard to watch because it's kind of a little heartbreaking. And the fact that he lies makes it more hard to watch, I think. But yeah, there's a lot going on in here as they try to get away from them. I mean, we get to see the smoke monster kind of up close and personal, and we find out about
that part is awesome.
Well, we don't find out yet. We see kind of the result of the donkey wheel. We don't know yet what's going on, but we see that, which is kind of big. And you kind of get a sense more of who Ben is, too, and also, of course, more who help me out here, the other guy.
You know,
with
there's so many things I love about Ben in this episode. Like, I think Ben is incapable of telling the truth about anything for any reason. You know, Saeed's like, how did you get here? Oh, well, I took a boat. And then I hop the fly, and it's like, that's, but even, you know, Ben's lying because he just lies about him when he lies.
Yeah,
so,
Jimmy, did you
just,
catch, Karen,
that,
are you
we
here?
Lost you a bit, Sam.
Yeah, we lost you a bit, AJ, while you were,
really?
We lost a big chunk of what you were saying, yeah.
Not just,
no, I was saying how, I love it that Ben can never tell the truth no matter what. Saeed asks him how he got there, and his answer is that he took a boat and then hopped a flight and then took another flight here, and here I am. You know, and even before we know about the donkey wheel, it's like,
That's
you know he's lying. Like, you know it's not that simple. You know, I mean, we know he's lying because we see him wake up in the middle of the desert.
Well, yeah, we know he's lying.
You know?
Yeah, we have no idea how he got there yet, sir, but...
But, I mean, and I love the fact that he had the gun in the bench the whole time.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and they're like, and he just hands it to Sawyer. He's like, yo, come on, we got to go. He finally
realizes all the comes back, and he's like, wait, what?
Well, that was really interesting also because, like, we've always seen Ben as sort of like the evil mastermind, master manipulator kind of guy, and this is like Ben the man of action, like... in this episode where he's like, you know, ready to fight. We actually see him do a little bit of hand-to-hand combat in this episode. And it's
Ben
sort of like Ben jumping into emergency mode and like just going for it. It was really, you know, kind of unexpected and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on Sawyer's face was really great when Ben puts the piano bench open. That was great.
Yeah, what makes the scene is the look on Sawyer's face. You know, it says everything that we're thinking. Holy shit, he's had that gun underneath his ass this whole time.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like what Miles says, that Ben tends to get what he wants when he says about being on their side now.
Did you guys notice the warning code is 1623?
No, is that what she types in?
Yep, Alex types in 1623.
Okay, because I was going to say the code that they get on the phone is 14J, I think. It was something different. But, yeah, I didn't see what she typed in.
Phone
says
it was 14.
They call, the recording is 14 day, yeah, but the number that she typed
no,
in.
No, yeah, I missed what she typed in. That's cool. We know that somehow when he goes in the back that he's calling Smokey. We don't really know what happened or what he did. And I don't think we ever find out how he called
him. I've never understood that. I've never understood how how that worked. And two, how he would know that it would work. You know, I never understood that. It's never explained. I've always had a problem with that.
The only thing they've really ever said
like
is
that.
It's their security system or whatever. That's all we've ever... Because even they're scared of Smokey because that's why they have the pylons and everything. So,
exactly.
But somehow Ben, you know, he can't... He knows it's not his time to die yet. That's why he's okay with it. But he was a little off on Alex. Okay, so the plan is that they're going to go to Jacob's cabin, and he plans to take Hurley there, regardless of what Sawyer thinks, because Sawyer goes with Claire and the baby back to the beach because they don't trust Ben. You think they would have, you know, taken him a lot, done that a lot sooner, but And then there's the whole scene with Ben going to Widmore's place and basically threatening to kill Penny since he, you know, changed the rules by killing his daughter, which I think that is kind of like somebody turning the tables on him a little bit, because it reminds me of the conversation he just had with Michael, where he's kind of like, I didn't kill her, you know, and he's not kind of a little bit.
I'd like to go back a little bit first.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Back to the island. First of all, before any of that happens, I love the fact that, first of all, Sawyer calls Hurley Chicken Little, tells him the sky is not falling yet. And then you don't know what they're doing at first. You know they're doing, I guess I got the feeling that they were playing the game the first time through.
Yeah.
And then see that they're playing Risk, and Hurley says, I can't believe the game in Australia. Australia is the key to the game, which is a great little
yeah.
shout out, you know, because everything started in Sydney, and, you know, I think that
yeah.
really makes it. But, I mean, the entire scene.
You're going out again.
The entire scene between Kimi and Ben, I mean, I remember watching it the first time, being on the edge of my seat, you know, being like, holy crap. I was like, Ben's just going to sacrifice. And then unconvincingly, which is out of character for me, tell Kimi, she's not really my daughter. She means nothing to me. It's like,
well, I think he panicked. He thought it would work. It was a dumb idea.
Well, he also
well, I don't
ben,
think...
we also find out that Ben also finds, you know, the rules, I don't know what his and Widmore's rules are, but apparently they're not supposed to kill each other or their children.
Yeah, but actually him saying it's not his daughter makes it seem worse that he would do that. But I don't know. I felt, at least this time watching it, I just felt like he panicked, and that was, because I don't think he wanted her dead. I mean, I believe as much as he's an ass,
well,
I think he still
loved her.
Yeah, obviously
he didn't want her dead. I mean, well, yeah,
right,
he was just he's trying to be manipulative, and it backfired. It did not work.
I mean, because he wasn't believable. That's the first time he told a lie that nobody believed, you know?
I would disagree.
Right?
I mean, I disagree with you only because Ben does not panic. Ben always, I mean, one of the defining things of Ben.
Panic.
One of the defining things of Ben is that he always has a plan, and he said he always has a plan. And I think that he truly believed that, I don't know if the rule is that children are off limits or that his own child is off limits, but they know. I mean, they knew she was the daughter before they shot Rousseau. I think they shot Rousseau and Carl to get Alex. Those, I mean, Kimi and his people are very well prepared. They know who everyone is on the island. Even Miles knows who everyone is. They have Adalphia and everyone. For them not to know that he had a daughter, Alex, just seems to be maybe not. So I'm rambling here. I'm sorry, but I just don't think Ben has grown to panic. I think he really he was calm because he truly believed Alex was off limits.
Really?
Well,
I don't know
that they knew it was her. I don't know. I just felt like not necessarily. I guess panic's too strong a word. I felt like he at that point was kind of grasping at straws because he didn't know what to do. Like his plan was sort of falling apart a little bit because I think that he expected that they would back off. And I think that he really didn't think that they'd shoot her. And I don't know if there's a rule or it was just kind of like because they both had a kid, that they knew that if one killed them, the other one would kill their kid. You know, kind of like how a country
will bomb us with
a nuclear bomb because we'll bomb them back type of thing.
Whatever the agreement was, you know, and panic is definitely the wrong word because as soon as Kimi shoots her, Ben has this look of disbelief on his face. And even then he doesn't panic. Moves on
That's
to the
like
next phase.
Panic. It's more like he's surprised his plan is falling through, and he's
totally,
kind of like
totally
grasping
surprised.
At straws to fix it.
I was
it.
Surprised.
He's
I
trying to make up
believe.
A new plan, I guess.
I
yeah.
couldn't believe that they killed Alex.
yeah,
I could
yeah.
I believe that he didn't believe she would die. He didn't expect her to get killed. But I also think there's a level in which Ben is prepared to sacrifice her. The island comes first. I mean, Ben slaughtered innocents in the past. Ben, like,
yeah, I think
kidnapped babies. Ben will do anything for that island, and you know, I think that's what enables him, as AJ was just saying, to immediately just be like, okay, she's dead. I got to move on and get some things done, and you know, and he just goes on with what he has to do. He does have to say goodbye to her later, but he's not, you know, the island is more important than any one person.
Right. I think he was maybe shocked that his plan wasn't working. But I think that even if he knew she was going to get shot, he probably would have made the same choice, I would say, going by what you're saying. That's
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think you're right that he was. He does look, and I mean, one of the greatest moments of the episode is that look on Ben's face when she does.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
He's shocked.
Like, oh my God! What just happened?
He is shocked that she's dead, and the look of and the grief and all that comes over his face. It's really, I mean, Michael Emerson is just awesome.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, saying
he doesn't love her, that even makes it worse, I think. That's why I said it's hard to watch. It's like, it's heartbreaking for Alex anyway. And it's, I don't know.
I think that's the thing that makes it so hard to kill her was because Ben was confident that there was no way she was going to die. He didn't seem worried.
Right, so we believed her.
Exactly.
As the viewer,
Ben doesn't look worried, so we shouldn't be worried. That, you know, up, 4 seasons in, we know when Ben's not worried, we don't need to be worried because Ben's going to get his way at least for a little while, you know.
Right.
I mean, Ben got his ass hand. I mean, how many times has Ben had his ass kicked and he just sits there like, a little blip in the plan, but it's going to work out, you know. So for that to go down like that, it was like, holy shit, that just happened.
but I have to say that I think as I watched it, I mean, when Ben starts saying, like, look, she's not my daughter, she doesn't mean anything, kill her if you want, and you see Alex, like, hang her head and cry, and Alex knows in that minute that she's dead. Like, Alex, not only, and Alex is being fully disowned and betrayed by her father. Like, you're hearing, you're like, you don't know what that Ben has a sense.
Yeah, but
he
wasn't betraying her when she said that,
totally,
she may feel that way.
Well, he was. I'm sorry. When you say in front of your child who she believes she's about to die, and you have to hear your father say that. I mean, that's a.
I guess. I mean, I felt like it was a last-ditch effort to save her, though.
Let's say she doesn't get killed.
By saying it would help. Well, then he would have probably said, you know, I just said that to save your life type of thing. I'm not saying it was right, but I think it was he did it.
A kid can't unhear that. She can't unhear that ever. And when you see in her face. What it means for her to have to listen to him say that, and she knows it's her death warrant. Like, she knows she's dead right then.
Yeah, she's terrified.
And the last thing she hears is her father, like, disavowing her. And
she's sitting there going, maybe I shouldn't have told him I was Ben's daughter.
Yeah. It's a devastating scene. It's just unbelievable to watch her there.
Yeah, and you know what makes the scene even worse? Timmy didn't even finish counting.
I didn't even notice that.
He gives Ben to the count. What was it? Count of five, and he gets to like three and shoots her because Ben has just made his statement that he's not going to give in, and Timmy realizes that he's not going to give in, and he shoots her, and then he just kind of stands there. And Timmy's lucky that they were all dumbstruck, because if I'm Sawyer, once he shoots her, shoot him. But he just stands there, you know, for a second. But everybody's so shocked that it doesn't go down like that, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could have shot him.
Yeah, it's really...
But then it wouldn't have been as interesting.
We have the awesome Death and Destruction comes next. So he's shocked and in disbelief in this like amazing moment, and he's like, okay, man of action, runs into like his little secret hideout room there and basically summons Smokey, right? And that is just awesome, and it's brilliant that they had it happen at night so that the CGI is kind of
is better.
But even before that, actually, Karen, I just want to touch on, you know, the defining moment for you and me, the first time through in Lost. This is when Kimi and gang first get there and Sawyer is going to get Claire and the stupid red shirts all get shot.
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody launches a grenade launcher and Claire's house goes boom and, you know, she finds Claire under the rubble. And Karen was convinced that Claire is dead.
That she was dead? Yeah.
And I would not believe. About a year and a half debate between me and Karen.
Yeah. Whether or not she was dead and then became, like, back to life?
Yeah.
Because that was a lengthy.
I vaguely remember that. It's been a while.
I mean, and it before the season even ends with her, which is what led up to the whole "Is She Dead" thing.
And that was way back in the depths of my never agree with AJ days.
Yes.
But AJ and I disagreed on every single item for like 4 years.
Yes, that part I definitely remember.
But that whole thing was kind of ridiculous also. Like, where did these red shirts come from? Like, suddenly there's people hanging out in, like, New Otherton. I mean, they're the people
that
left the
beach. I guess it means the fact that I was surprised there were people staying there. I was supposed to be surprised. I thought it was because I hadn't watched it for a couple weeks. I thought it was just them there. But you're saying those were people from the beach then. Those weren't like other, okay.
Yeah,
those
cool,
weren't people that were living there, obviously, because they had all left.
But you got to think about it. They all went tower except for the shooters, and then, of course, Sawyer and Hurley and Juliet, you know, go back. But other than that, everybody's still there. And then Locke shows up and
they're
the two groups split. And it, you know, and they draw the line in the sand and they say, who's coming? You know, Locke's like, who's coming with me? And Jack's like, screw you. I'm going with me.
I saw that part.
The problem
well, then
is
it wasn't
that
all me. That's just the red shirt.
The problem is always that you see these red shirts moving about, but then they're not seen for, like, many episodes and you forget they're there.
And then they
pop out when people need to die. And, you know, that they all get mowed down, and then the fact that, I mean, it is kind of ridiculous that Claire survives her house blowing up, right? I mean, it's kind of...
It isn't her time to die yet, so the island won't let her die. That's going to be the new excuse for everything.
It's so simple. It's so simple. Why can't I remember that?
Yeah.
The island will let you die. But it was kind of, and then you see those feet with those little kids sticking out. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, because that was obviously a red herring.
But she has to live, so.
Isn't ready for you to die thing doesn't quite work. We find out to kill yourself.
Find out
okay,
what?
I have no idea what you said.
Well, we don't
find
know
out
that
what? When you drop your voice drop, we didn't hear what you said.
I said it's not that you can't, the island won't let you die. It's that you can't kill yourself, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
That's true. But no, I was just going by what Tom said. I mean, he outright said that. Whether we believe him or not on first viewing at this point is another story, but he still said it. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, there was a lot in this
Meanwhile, there's all this stuff happening, you know, on the beach. First of all, Jack complaining that his stomach hurts, which we all know where that's going, right? This is like where we see
something
Jack
funny.
Feeling sick.
Ever since my brother had appendicitis years ago, I'm watching that scene and the way Jack's like holding his side and everything. I knew. I was like, he's gonna, what else can go wrong with these people? I was like, he's having appendicitis. I know it. You know, we find out a couple of episodes later that that's what's the case.
That's funny.
Yeah, and we hadn't really gotten an episode yet where the doctor was the guy who was sick. So that's always got to happen on every deserted island kind of episode.
Yeah.
So that was there. So, I mean, that's setting up.
Another doctor.
Yeah. That's setting up what is later to come, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the doctor washes up and all that. There's a key line where, you know, this whole bit where Daniel's like, what happened to the doctor? And on the island, on the boat, they're like, oh, no, the doctor's fine. What the heck are you talking about? And, you know, Daniel, that's when Daniel is forced to admit that they were never going to, well, they say, I'm getting ahead of myself. So the bit with the doctor is that Daniel, the big line is that, you know, Jackson's one of those things called the doctor, and Daniel says, well, when is kind of a relative term, at which AJ, I guess, already pointed out with the rocket and everything, that we're getting towards more of this time.
Yeah, well, there was another clue, too, that I didn't even, like, I noticed this time. I don't remember noticing last time. I'm sure I did. But the one thing, and it's just kind of a little bit insignificant, but it obviously has more meaning, is that whenever Ben shows up in Tunisia, I think it wasn't in Tunisia, it was after, because it was in Tunisia after, and he was going to that to the hotel or whatever, he says, like, ask what date it is. He's like, 2005. Like, you know, you should be in a way wondering why would he question it was still 2005.
Yeah.
And, hey, that gives us another date, too. That just hit me. He said October, didn't he? October 24th or something. Because that seems way off the timeline, too. Does that make sense?
Well, no, it's a whole year. Saeed has already gotten off the island.
Oh, that's right.
Found,
this is married.
This is far, far, as a far
question. Yeah.
I was thinking
this is like a year later. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense then. But either way, my point was is that the fact that he questioned the year was obviously a clue.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway. Mm-hmm. Also on the beach, there's this brilliant moment where, and I hate to admit that Jack is brilliant, but, you know, when... Ooh.
AJ, what are you doing?
AJ.
What?
Are you talking? There's horrible static.
I didn't
you?
Say or do anything.
All right.
It sounded like static. It sounded like he was rubbing something. I don't know.
One of our phones freaked out.
I didn't hear anything.
Sorry.
It was yours.
I'm just sitting here. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
No, I know. I just bet it might be coming from your phone, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, there's this great, you know, Bernard suggests that they can use the broken radio as a sort of a telegraph machine to send a message to the boat, and that gives Jack this idea. That's like Jack is like, aha! I guess that's when Jack realizes that perhaps Bernard knows Morse code and uses Bernard as his, you know, to trick, uses Bernard as a check against Daniel and finds out that Daniel's totally lying about what
they're
doing.
Yeah, I know. I'm afraid, why would he lie? It's obvious somebody's going to know. Jack would know, but...
I mean, would you think that the guy who suggested you use it as a telegraph might use Morse code? I don't know. I mean, I don't think, Daniel, I don't know. At any rate, though, Daniel is forced to admit that they never intended to rescue anybody at all. That, you know, they were never, finally, it's what Jack hasn't wanted to hear or believe all along is finally out there, that they were never going to get rescued, and these people, you know, you might not get rescued. But that was really all that happened. We got almost no beach action in this episode.
Right. Well, half of them weren't even in the first episode because I didn't really think about it until after I started watching the second. I'm like, hey, wait, Jack wasn't even in the other episode.
But the beach action we did get was pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
It was very telling. I mean, and Daniel's the perfect guy to ask questions. You know, they're finally asking questions, and Daniel actually answers them because he's scared to death of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He could have said that it didn't make sense. Because really, if he had told them what they really said, I would have just assumed, because this is why I had forgotten that it was already at the point they, you know, that they know what's going on with the blue thing. If somebody said that to me, like, and I was on the island, I would have assumed that maybe the people on the freighter didn't know that he was missing. You know what I mean? Or that they were lying because they didn't want to admit he'd been killed because one of them murdered them. Like, I would, like, to me, him saying and, like, lying about what they said was more suspicious than if he had just told what they really said because it could have meant different things.
Yeah, because the doctor has clearly been dead for a while. I mean, he didn't just fall in the water, like, a minute ago,
that's
right? He looks a little white and clammy and nasty. So he's been dead for, you know, I mean, Jack can easily see that he's been dead for a little
while.
Right,
but they could have lied to Daniel even. You know what I mean? I just feel like it would have been less suspicious to think that they said that, to know what they really said and think maybe they lied to Daniel than for him to hide what they said. That was like the red flag, in my opinion.
I'm just trying to think that through in my head. That makes sense. Sorry, I was just trying to
follow. Okay, I
like,
did I lose you?
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that makes sense, yeah.
Okay, good.
okay, good. Well, then I guess the only other thing that happened in this episode, which we talked about a little bit, was the whole part that takes place in Iraq, where after Ben appears and Tanisha makes his way to Iraq, and you know, so Saeed, this was another awesome part of this episode. Like, I love the way this is written because it finally explains to you how Saeed came to be employed by Ben.
Right.
And and why Saeed was working as Ben's assassin, which was, you know, I think a big question that had been lurking and that a lot of people wanted to know about. Go ahead.
Finish your thought, Karen. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how was the guy who was Ben's, like, least fan, like, the guy who hated Ben more than anyone, really, and wouldn't believe anything that Ben ever said, is the one guy that comes to be working for him in the future.
Exactly.
I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, that was like a huge reveal.
The thing about the way they set up these flash forwards and flashbacks is they do a memento style type thing where they show you the furthest point and then they bring you back to how that point came to be. And they've always done a 90% good job of doing that, you know, especially like in this case, you know, like you said, why is Saeed working for Ben? Now you find out, oh, Nadia is dead.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking today when I was watching this, because I told you guys I had watched that web series that I still think you need to watch, but my point was is when I watched that, like, it kept going back and forth different times, but they told you it was hard to keep track of, and when I was watching Lost, I realized, you know, we never really knew, even during the flashbacks. Like, we had no idea when each flashback took place. You'd see something, and then you'd see something later or something earlier, and you'd piece it together. But yet, the way they did it in Lost, as much as they did that, I don't want to say it wasn't confusing, because obviously the show was confusing, but it was understandable. Like, you could figure it out. It wasn't, like, really annoying like it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah. They somehow made it work, but it makes it...
Yeah.
Acceptable.
Well,
I guess that's the right word.
I mean, you know, it's good writing, and I think, you know, another reason that they're able to tie this stuff together better is this was a short season. This is when they finally said, we're not doing 22 episodes every year. We need to have an end date. We're not, you know, and they weren't forced to, like, write a bunch of, like, crazy. Like, a lot of the questions that don't get answered on the series, I feel like some of it is stuff that was, like, added in.
For the filler.
And they were trying to stretch it out, and then when they committed themselves to their main storyline, they just didn't have time to ever revisit it. And as writers, didn't feel it was important or whatever.
Yeah, how many episodes were in this season, though? Because I thought 5 and 6 were the ones that got 16.
I
still got more than 16.
There's
16
this year,
right?
14 episodes.
Only 14.
Yeah.
Oh, this one had even less than the last season.
But
that was because of the writer's strike and everything, though.
That.
It was because of the writer's strike, but also they were going shorter. I mean, season 5 only goes 17 episodes, because I'm looking at it right now, and season 6 only goes, what does season 6 go? I don't know. I'm having trouble with my little website I'm looking at here.
Okay, I thought they were both 16. It was probably double
episode.
Season 5 and 6
ended up having like that 4-hour finale.
Yeah.
So,
they went 17. Season 5 and 6 both go 17 episodes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I think they were like double finales, so it was actually like 16.
Well, the end was like 3 hours officially, I think, or whatever.
Right, but that was because of the specials and everything.
But anyway, if you count the specials, it was like 5 hours.
Ah, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I know it was a long time.
Yeah.
We've got 5 episodes left
in
for season 4. We got Cabin Fever and There's No Place. Something Nice Back Home and Cabin Fever next week, and then 2 weeks from now, parts 1, 2, and 3 of There's No Place Back Home.
Three-part
finale.
Are we going to do it all in 1 week, or are we going to do?
Yeah, we're going to do it in 1 week.
I think we do it once since it aired at a single episode. I mean, it's a single
episode.
Yeah,
no, that's
right?
Fine. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. The way it aired originally was an hour. There was No Place Like Home Part 1, and then the following week was 2 hours. But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So now we got the big moment at the end of the episode when Ben and
which we talked
Widmore.
About for all the rest of it. Oh, yeah.
I felt that was such a pivotal scene, you know, when you see that. You know, you see Ben, you know, manipulate the guy down, the doorman or whoever he was downstairs, gets into the elevator, has his magic little key to get to to the penthouse, and, you know, he asks Widmore, here we see the bottle of scotch again, and you know he asks him, he's when you start sleeping with that next to your bedside, he's like when the nightmare started, which I'm not really sure what that meant, but Maybe he's having nightmares over all the people, innocent people he's going to have to kill to find the island.
maybe, but what I was going to say, what I find, I think, is interesting about that scene, though, is the fact that Widmore is not scared of Ben, which I think shows he's, powerful.
Well, he should be, because they have agreement they have. Because Steven says, he says, are you here to kill me, Benjamin? And I love the fact that he calls him Benjamin, you know, and we start to learn a little more in this episode. This is when we find out that Widmore has been to the island and that Ben kicked him off the island, you know?
This is
where we really start questioning what Widmore is all about, because, you know, we got in that small little 5-minute scene, you know, we get information about what's going on, you know, about to give us more questions, you know. Like I was saying, he says, are you here to kill me, Benjamin? And Ben's like, you and I both know that I can't do that, you know.
Right, but yet he broke the rule about his kid.
Exactly.
But
well,
it might not be
I gotta say,
it might be an unspoken rule. You don't really know.
Right. Something that was never established and it never really needed to be. I think they gave us all we really needed. But there was a part of me that always wondered if Kimi went off script and did that on his own because Ben fussed
him. Yeah, and he just sort of blamed on Ben after.
Because Kimi's a mercenary. You know, he's doing a job. He doesn't know maybe Widmore said, all right, you can't kill the girl. Whatever happens, you can't kill the girl. And Kimi was like, screw this. You know, you don't know.
Well,
doesn't really matter.
Well, the
because,
other thing
you know,
is
they have...
that another possibility, we know that everybody
okay, guys,
on
I'll
the
be
boat...
right back. Okay, sorry. I'll be right back.
All right. Sure. Another possibility, we know that everybody on the boat is going crazy from being too close to the electromagnetic source or the time, whatever it is, but people are committing suicide, people are, you know, is Kimi affected by that? You know, is he by nature a reckless mercenary? I don't know. I don't know that you get to be a really good skilled mercenary and Marine by being reckless and going off script so much. You know, by training he's...
No, I see what you're saying, but Kimi is also...
Like, so did he go off script because of the island making him go crazy? Sorry about that.
Kimi's also a mercenary now because he's not in the military anymore because he couldn't get a different, you know what I mean? He's got that type of mentality. He has to have a certain type of mentality to be a mercenary in the first place.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So, you know. But you're right, too, you know. But what was I going to say, though?
You were saying how you always wanted to
come off. I was saying about Widmore and Ben, you know, when they get in the conversation about Alex.
God,
you know,
it's still ringing.
And they're both saying that each other is responsible for Alex's death, but they're both right. They're both responsible for her death. You know.
Well.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah, but Ben's less directly responsible. I mean, he didn't want her to die.
Ben is completely responsible.
Ben took a risk, and I mean, Ben's... I don't know.
Right, but even if he hadn't said that, he still was going to shoot her.
What, Ben?
And yeah, you're right. He could have went out and stopped it. I guess he didn't stop it, but I mean, like, it wasn't his choice to kill her was what I meant.
Ben's actions, even before any of that, directly or indirectly, was responsible for Alex's death. Ben kidnapped Alex from Danielle in the first place. If he had just left them alone... You know, I mean, Ben.
Right.
Ben
well, that's the thing. Technically, it's not really his kid anyway. So
there's no way, any way, shape, or form that he is not responsible for.
No, I just
think
he's not as directly responsible. It's still his fault, but
yeah. I think to me, what is best about this closing little tableau that we see here is, first of all, the idea that Ben knows exactly. You know, he's all like Widmore's evil, all on the island. Like, Widmore has been made out by Ben to be, like, really a very dangerous and evil person. And then we learn that, like, Ben's got a key to it. Ben knows where he lives. Ben's got a key to his house. And they have a sort of, they have a relationship. They know each other. And there's some level of respect or whatever. I mean, they remind me of other kinds of villains you see in movies sometimes that have a, you know, a relationship. I mean, that was kind of... You know, amazing.
Kind of like when,
and then,
kind of like when the Joker and the Penguin work together.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who's who, but so we see all that, and then, you know, we know that, so, you know, Widmore talks about how he's been drinking ever since the nightmares, or we don't know what that's about, we might never.
Yeah.
And then when he says, you know, are you here to kill me, we both know I can't do that. You know, I don't think that's really about the rules. Like, I guess I kind of always thought that the rules of, like, not killing each other's
plus that it's, like, inherent. You kind of should know that.
No, I think that was maybe more like a... I think that was
like
more maybe
they
like
were
a,
friends at one point, maybe.
I think that was maybe more like a, yeah, like a gentleman's agreement or sort of like the rules of good conduct, like the Geneva Convention or something. That when he says, you and I both know I can't do that, that he can't kill him, I kind of always felt that was more like a Jacob thing, like that the island won't let him kill him.
That's
not like
I
agree not to kill you, but that
that's
or, you
know,
we have agreed upon
was.
Rules.
Yeah, maybe.
Just like Michael can't kill himself, then, like, cannot, you know,
I
would
felt,
be
yeah,
like
I mean, once,
interesting. Prevented.
Once we learned about, you know, more about Jacob and the Man in Black, I always felt, once I learned about that, that's how I felt between Ben and Widmore, because the Man in Black and Jacob couldn't kill each other because of the whole, you know, the whole island thing and the mystical forces and everything, and I felt that's kind of what Ben and Widmore
but
had going.
But these two have, yeah.
The only problem with Ben and Widmore, but, and the funny, you know, the funny thing is, it took until season 6 to figure out which one was which, but you never knew Ben or Widmore which one was supposed to be Jacob, you know, the Jacob-type person, which one was supposed to be the Man in Black, because they both seemed kind of Man in Black to me until we get to season 6.
Yeah.
We realized that Widmore is the one we should have been rooting for all along.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. And then, of course, the most beautiful part of it is that it puts, you know, it puts Penelope in danger, which, I mean, beautiful
yeah.
in the sense of, like, an awesome story twist. That we just saw, you know, we just saw this great reunion in the Constance, even though it's a telephone reunion, but those two are back together, and now Penny's, like, in mortal danger. Ben's going to try to kill her, and, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean,
which
that was
reminds me,
an awesome ending to the episode.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to that episode. That's a fun episode when Ben goes after Penelope.
Yeah. That's a really good episode. But, I mean, that was just like, you know, like across America, everyone was like, not Penelope, no, not Desmond, one true love, no. Everyone was horrified by that.
Yeah.
And it plays out well. Like, this has been probably the fastest moving segment of the show these last, like, you know, what, 5 episodes that we've been watching. Like, the action on Lost is not usually this fast and furious, and that's been great. And then from here on out, it's mostly well tied together. Like, a lot of this pays off in later seasons. Not all of it. I mean, there's a lot of crap in the last season there that you know, we
definitely
all agree to. But it does sort of, it does all kind of start coming together. What else?
I don't know. That's all I had.
I just thought of something.
Yeah?
The temple is not a Dharma station.
I know,
yeah,
so why is it a Dharma station on the map? Yeah,
on
that's
map.
A good question.
well,
not the map.
The
map
Ben
draws, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
but
good
just
question.
For some reason, that just popped in my head because I was like, well, why don't I know about it? And Ben goes, then it wouldn't be much of a secret, would it?
Yeah.
Or not secret, but sanctuary.
But it wasn't
yeah.
on the blast
oh,
format.
Because
either,
it wouldn't be a sanctuary if everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
we got about 6 minutes left, so I think we've.
All right.
Unless you guys have anything to add.
No,
no I think I'm
good.
All right. So join us next week for Something Nice Back Home and Cabin Fever.
All right. And then Tuesday, first is Tuesday with Fandom Access.
Yep.
So all kinds of fun stuff. And
yep.
All right,
great.
And everybody enjoy their Monday. Not Cinco de Mayo, it's Cinco de Jacko.
Cinco de Jacko.
24 premieres on Monday, so it's...
that Jack. I thought you meant Lost Jack.
No, it's Cinco de Jacko. That's why I explained to myself. Karen knew what I meant.
Yep,
all
I
right.
get it. I'll be watching it. Even though I've already
so
seen
we will
it,
be,
maybe I'll watch
yes,
it again.
Yes, we'll be adding 24 to our discussion on Tuesday. So thank you to Roger and everybody at NDB Media. And we'll see you guys Tuesday and Saturday.
Yeah,
okay.
And also Karen's interview is going to be going up. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you just talked to Kiefer Sutherland, Lucky.
Yes.
Yeah.
How'd that go? Was that fun?
She was lucky. I saw you got in last. You barely made it.
Yeah, I got the very last question. I got in the last minute. It went well. The first day there was a really bad phone connection and Kiefer couldn't hear anybody, so we had to hang up and do it again the second day. But it was nice, and Fox usually only goes 30 minutes on a call, and this one went long, so that was nice, too.
Cool.
But only a little long, not very long. But it was nice. He sounds really excited.
Enough.
He talked about how much he loves the show and how he, like, is always happy to, you know, revisit the character. So
well, maybe in a couple years we'll be talking to them about revisiting Lost, right?
Yep.
But you never know.
Never know.
Right.
All right, we're going to get off, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, we probably will. All right.
Good night,
everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night.